Hello. It's great to be home. My wife gave me a list of things to talk about. It's written right there. Sam, I used one of the old envelopes, so I'm trying to get those out of the way. The preacher mentioned it a while ago. Things are changing. Last time I was here, I think I told you that the laws were such that we could not evangelize more than 50 yards outside of our church. And that God had worked it out in the eons past that we had one of the largest bus stops within that 50-yard radius. So we were able to witness to people coming and going on this in this large thing. Well, this past July, the law has changed again. And now it's against the law for us to evangelize outside of our church building. And that includes the internet, includes mail, nothing outside of our church building. But if I'm not mistaken, God's still good. And so that includes Russian people, but doesn't include foreigners. And for years and years and years, we've had young men and ladies from the medical university in our city coming to church. And they're from India and Indonesia and Malaysia and all those places over there. Over the years, that medical university has developed a program specifically in English so that when these students come, they don't have to learn Russian first, which they did years ago, and then go through the medical school. Now they speak English, they go into medical school. We have over 1,000 students there that don't speak Russian. And so a few months ago, we started an English-only church service, and we're trying to reach those medical students, and we're averaging 15 to 20 medical students now are on a regular basis. They come over to our home. We put pictures on our Facebook page. They came over and picked all the fruit out of the trees in our yard. So that took care of that problem. Grapes. We have grapes growing over our driveway. Green, seedless, sweet grapes. In bunches that you would think came out of the promised land. I mean, they are about this tall, most of them, and start big and come down, and they're just delicious. But anyway, these students came and cleaned us out, which students do, if you know anything about students. So we have a whole new opportunity to reach a whole new group of people. God is still good. God still wants Mark 16:15 to be accomplished. And he'll use whoever will do it to reach whoever can be reached in whatever place you and I are. So praise the Lord for that. Let's see. A friend of ours by the name of Don Asawardi is a missionary, and he's with our mission board as well. And he was in more central Russia. He was arrested several months ago for preaching. By the way, if a lost person comes to your house and you witness to them, that's against the law because you're not in a church building, even though you're in your own personal house. And so he was witnessing to some people in his home, and the police came and arrested him. And it's been a long ordeal going through different trials. He's been found guilty in four different levels of court. But he's determined to stick it out to try to get to the Supreme Court because actually the law does not forbid just general folks from witnessing. It's against the law for missionaries to witness. It's against the law for outside the church, for pastors, things like that. But if you know you're in a restaurant and you leave a tract, that's supposed to be okay. So he's fighting that, trying to get to the Supreme Court to try to help us all. So if you'd remember to pray for Don, he's back in the States for Christmas time, but going back. Now, the preacher gave me a tie. I brought two ties and can't find either one of them. So the preacher lent me a tie. It's got clocks on it. No message intended there, I'm sure. Even though each clock is set at 2:58. So I need to get busy. He didn't intend that. I'm just picking on. But you know, God does give us opportunities to witness. He gives us people that he sends our way for the specific purpose of us giving them the gospel. If you believe that God is sovereign, then you have to believe that the things that happen in our life are for a purpose. Otherwise, we just kind of float through life, you know, like drifters. And that's not the purpose that God has for us. So everybody that comes to you get a wrong phone call. Well, if you're a believer, you know that wasn't a wrong phone call. God sent you that person to at least plant a seed, give a verse. You know those robocalls? If it's a real person, read them John 3:16. Everybody should know that. They'll hang up and they'll mark you. Don't call this person again. But God gives all of us opportunities, and we miss them so often just because I just really think we're busy and we're just not, you know, in that mindset. But God also calls us to serve Him. Every one of us, the Bible says we are fitly joined together. We are a body. And you are in this body for the purpose of serving God through this body. Now the question comes then, what do we do when God lays either a burden on us about doing a specific thing, or a call to be a missionary or a pastor or an evangelist or a Sunday school teacher or a bus worker? What do we do? What's our reaction? There are some variants in Scripture of men who had varying reactions to the call of God. That's what I want to look at today, real quickly. Four men, different characteristics, different personalities. So it's not, you know, God wants to use us all. In fact, I can't think of a single verse. Maybe you could help me with this. I can't think of a single verse in the Bible that says that once you get saved, you are called to sit and do nothing. I just can't. Now, I've been searching, not diligently, of course, but I haven't run across that verse. But the first guy I want to look at is Moses, back in the book of Exodus. We're not going to go into Moses' life. It's an interesting life, interesting story. But in Exodus chapter 4, God spoke to him. All these guys are in the Old Testament, I'm pretty sure. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." God had said, "Moses, I got something for you to do." And Moses starts listing the excuses of why he cannot do that. Anybody ever done that? I've done that. Anybody ever done that? I'm in what's now Russia. I'm in Russia after a rather lengthy discussion with God about why I shouldn't go there. So, I mean, I can relate with Moses. He starts listing the excuses of, you know, I'm slow of tongue, I'm slow of speech, I'm not eloquent, I just can't. Basically, Moses says, who, me? You want me to do this? You want me to go there? But Lord, I can't. And the plight of many Christians today are those two words, I can't. Well, the fact is, none of us can. There's nobody here that God thinks, you know, wow, I would be just so honored if you would serve. You are just such a highly qualified individual. There's nobody here like that. We all have shortcomings and limitations and one reason or another. But does God accept those excuses? He really doesn't. In fact, if you look down from verse 10 down to verse 12, let's go to 11. "And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go," and here's the important part, "and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." God said to Moses, basically, look, don't worry about it. I will take care of that. Lord, I can't go because, well, you know, I'm not good in English. I don't like standing before people, and I have a hard time learning languages. And I think God just says, well, just hold on. If you'll just go, I'll take care of that for you. But he can't take care of that, and he's not going to take care of that until we go. Mark 16:15, the first word is go. And then comes the instructions. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that the world starts here. You don't have to fly anywhere or take a boat someplace or anything to be a missionary. What you need to do is go. That's it. And when we lay out our excuses, what we're really saying is, God, you don't know what you're talking about. You really don't know what you're talking about because you're asking me to do something I can't do. And you know that's not true. God just says, go. I'll take care of that. Yes, you're right, Moses. You're not eloquent. You're slow of speech. You're slow. Yes, that's true. He didn't say, no, Moses, you'll do all right. He says, I'll take care of it. And that's why we just have to accept the fact that, yes, we have limitations. Yes, we're older. Yes, we're younger. Yes, we're not doing well in school. Yes, we, do this. Or God just says, if you'll go, I'll take care of that. If you'll go. The second man is Jonah. In the book of Jonah, you all know Jonah's story. Lost everything, but gained 10 times more than he had. But in the book of Jonah, I'm sorry, that's not Jonah. In the book of Jonah, God says to Jonah, I want you to go to a city and preach. What was the name of the city? Nineveh. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach because there's wickedness there, and I need to have a messenger. I need somebody to take my message to Nineveh. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. The first word in verse number 3 gets a lot of us. But Jonah. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, that's the ship, to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. God said, Jonah, I need you to go over here. Jonah went exactly the opposite way. Exactly. Why did he do that? Well, Moses said, who, me? Jonah says, not me. That's not for me. I'm not doing that. Basically, he said, Moses said, I can't. Jonah says, I won't. Oh my goodness, what a dangerous place to be. What a dangerous place to be. He went exactly the opposite direction God told him to go. I hope nobody in here has ever experienced that. I won't do God's will. Years ago, I was an assistant pastor in a church in the Midwest, and the pastor was not doing what he should be doing, and I happened to be out on visitation, and one of the church members told me, I don't care what the Bible says, the pastor says this. I'm not going to listen to God. Here's what the pastor said. Whoa, is that dangerous? Not only dangerous for you, dangerous for the pastor. You see, when we come to the point in our Christian life where we tell God, I'm not going to do your will, even when we know his will, we put ourselves in a very dangerous place. And that was Jonah's response to God's call. God called him to do a job. God would take care of him. God would provide. God would give him the message. And Jonah said, not me. I'm not going to do it. And you know the story. You know what he went through. And what happened at the end? Eventually he ended up going and doing just what God told him to do. But look at the middle part of the story, what he had to go through in order to change his mind. Anybody willing to go through that? Wouldn't it be easier just to say, here am I, Lord, send me? And that brings us to the next guy, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? And who shall go for us?" Then said I, that's Isaiah, "Here am I, send me." I'll go. Now, just one little plus here. This is free, it wasn't in the message. The Trinity is in this verse. Who will go for us, God says. Anyway, that was free. What I like about this verse and what I like about Isaiah's reaction to the call of God, there's no time in between God asks the question and Isaiah volunteers to go. Well, that says to me that there was no discussion. There's no prayer time. Isaiah didn't say, "Well, wait a minute, Lord, who's going to pay for this? Well, but wait a minute, Lord, what about my job? Well, wait, Lord, what about, I have grandkids and I have great-grandkids and, do you really?" No discussion. No request, no, what do I do now? Where do I go? What's next in line? All that God will explain to him, but he just immediately says, "Here am I, Lord, send me, I'll go. I can. He doesn't know he can, but in his heart he knows he can because God's called him. Our response to the call of God, whether it be for full-time service or just to be a faithful witness where you work and where you go to school, is, "Here am I, Lord, send me." No matter wherever you work, wherever you go to school, wherever you're in college, wherever your retirement center is, wherever you are, for you today, this week, that is God's mission field for you. He put you in that place. "Well, you don't understand the people that I have to work with." No, I don't understand at all. But God does. He put you there. "But you don't understand the kids at school, how they treat me." No, I really don't. But I know how people treated Jesus. And I know how that he put you in that place for this purpose. Just say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Just say, I don't understand it. I don't know the results. I don't know the path. I don't have the answers. And you know, when you just say, "Here am I, send me," that gives all the glory to God. Because we can't. We can't control the environment we're in. Work, school, whatever, sports. We can't control that. And we're not supposed to be able to. It's supposed to be a little difficult. We go back to Russia, and by the way, you no longer have this missionary in Ukraine. You have this missionary in Russia. We're going back to Russia. We don't know. And I'm not saying that because we're going back to Russia. I'm saying we're kind of scared. We don't know we have an idea because we've been there for more than 20 years. We have an idea. But the way the laws change, you just never know from day to day. 3 years ago in February, we woke up, we went to bed in Ukraine and woke up in Russia. It was that fast. God's still God. He's still sovereign. There's still lost people there. There's still churches that need to be started. He still will provide. And he expects us to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." I think I've mentioned this before. When we got to Ukraine the first time, we met the pastor of the big Baptist church, the Russian Baptist church. And good conversation, very friendly guy. Russian Baptists as a whole don't believe anything that we believe as far as salvation and stuff, but he's a real nice guy. So we were talking, and he said, "Why did you come here? Don't you think it's dangerous here?" And I said, at that time, we had just happened upon him, upon his church. I said, "Yeah, it looks to be kind of crazy here. We'd already been kicked out one time way back then before we met him." And he said, "Don't you think it's dangerous here?" I said, "Yes, sir, I really do. I think it's probably dangerous here." But he said, "You know what? The safest place in the universe for us is in the middle of God's will." I said, "We can get hit by a car in America and die. So the safest place for us is in the middle of God's will, no matter where that is." Isaiah was very, very smart when he said, "I don't need to know anymore. I trust you. If you've called me, that's where I want to be. Here am I, Lord, send me." And then the last one is Nehemiah, one of my favorite men in the Bible, Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer for the king. Did Nehemiah have any construction experience that you know of from reading Scripture? Probably not. Did he have any bricklaying or masonry or plumbing or electrical experience? No, no. Did you need to go to college to be a cupbearer? No. In fact, I imagine they went through those pretty quickly. You were the guy that tasted the wine before the king drank it to make sure it wasn't poison. And if you dropped dead, then the king said, throw that bottle out. Next cupbearer. That was Nehemiah. But Nehemiah loved God. Nehemiah was a man of God. And he saw need. He saw the gates and the walls of the city were down and burnt. And it broke his heart. And so he went to the king, and there's not enough time to tell the whole story. It's almost 2 minutes to 12. But basically, Nehemiah said, Lord, use me. Just use me. I don't understand, don't know. I see the need. It's huge. Just use me. I can do this. Isaiah said, I can. Nehemiah said, I will. I'll do this. And he accepted the challenge and went through all that we know he went through to get the timbers and to get the workers and to build the wall. And in the end, God was glorified in spite of people who came and mocked him and picked on him and made fun of him. I will do this. Recently, we were in a church visiting just a few weeks ago, and the pastor had resigned a week or so before that, a couple weeks maybe. And so we were talking to the assistant pastor. We were just visiting, had really nothing official there as far as missionary stuff. We just needed a church. And the assistant pastor was talking to us. He said, our pastor resigned, and I'm the assistant, so, glad you're here. You sit right here, and la, 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 la. What assistant pastors do? Excuse me, I got to go drive the bus, you know? Anyway, so we went to the Sunday school class, and I said to the Sunday school teacher, what happened to the pastor? Because he was not elderly, probably, would you say he was 40s? In his 40s. I didn't realize it, but we had met the pastor in the hallway when we were changing Sunday school from Sunday school to church. A man came by, shook our hand, told us his name, and later the Sunday school teacher said, that was the pastor. So I know it wasn't anything super bad because he was there. So I said, what he did? Well, long story short, his wife, he'd been the pastor there 7 years. His wife wrote him a note and left it for him on the counter at home, and it said, "I don't want to be a pastor's wife anymore. I'm taking the kids," and she left. That's devastating for a church. But think about it as a husband and a family. When God calls pastors, he calls pastors families. When God calls missionaries, he calls missionaries families. When he calls evangelists, he calls evangelists families. When he calls you to be a Sunday school teacher, he called your wife to be a Sunday school teacher's wife. You see? And we all work together. As I said in the beginning, we are fitly joined together in the work that God's given us to do. The question is, how do we respond to his call? When God says and touches your heart, and you know it when God speaks to your heart, and he says, God says, you see that need over there? I really need you to help with that. What's our response? I can't. I won't. I can. I will. You see, these four men, great men, used by God, had four different responses to his call. What will our response be today? Perhaps you're here and you're not saved. You don't know for sure that you have a home in heaven. God has a message for you. You know God loves everybody. Did you know that? I mean everybody. You can't do anything, go anywhere, be involved in anything to take away God's love. But on the other hand, you can't do anything to make him love you more. He just loves you and he died for you on the cross. You personally, as an individual person, he didn't die for mankind. He didn't die for this race or that race or this group or that. He died for us all because he loved us. And he loves you this morning. And he has a message for you. He says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The Bible says, there's none righteous, no, not one. And I don't think any of us would raise our hand and say, well, you know, except for me. I mean, I'm pretty righteous myself. I don't think we would do that. He also said that in John, one of the probably the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, explains it clearly. God so loved the world, that's the people, that he gave. Right there's the heart of God. He gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He has no other born sons, or not born in the sense of being born, has no relationship sons like Jesus Christ. Gave his only begotten Son that whosoever, that means you and me. You could go to the verse in the Bible and you could scratch out the word whosoever and you could write your name in there. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's promise. Can God lie? Can God change? The Bible says there's not even a shadow of turning with God. And he loves you today. If you're not saved, accept him as your Savior today. Getting saved doesn't mean you join a church or you join a religion or you have to pay anything or you have to do anything. God's already done everything for you. He just invites you to come and receive that eternal life. If you choose not to, the Bible's clear. That means you choose to go to hell. It's your choice, you see. Isn't that loving God gives you the choice? He could say, no, I'm saving you. I'm going to save you. I'm not going to save you. No. I know what you're going to do in 10 years. I'm not going to save you. He doesn't do that. It's open to all of us. God so loved the world. So what's our response? This morning you'll make a decision. I'm going to continue to enjoy sitting in my pew. Or I'm going to get up out of this pew and I'm going to go do what God's called me to do. I got a good friend over here, Tom. We used to work together. I haven't seen him in, oh my goodness, 35, 40 years? I don't know. When you're as old as us, you know what. But we used to work together at Tennessee Temple in the same shop at Tennessee Temple University. He travels around. He knows churches. Missionary to the American Indians, a group of them. He knows a thing or two because he's seen a thing or two. I love that commercial. But he'll tell you, God loves everybody. And he died for each individual. And we have the responsibility to reach those individuals for Jesus Christ. So this morning you'll make that decision. I'm comfortable, got my job. Most people in this room never lived by faith a day in their life. Because they've always gotten the paycheck and, you know, the electricity. It all comes in this way and we sit down and figure it out and it all goes out that way. But today I'm going to change. Today I'm going to make a decision. Today I'm not going to say I can't or I won't. I'm going to say I can and I will, no matter what God tells me to do. That's the decision you need to make today. Let's stand together. Thank you for your patience. We're going to pray. I'm going to turn it over to the preacher. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these men who are examples to us in your word. Help us to respond correctly to the call that you give to us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We love you. We trust you. We know that you will provide if we do what you ask us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.